Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Welcome to church, everybody. Hope you're having an amazing Sunday so far, and we're just trusting that God is just speaking to us week in and week out. And I've been praying and trusting that the more consistently we come to church, the more we just show up here every single Sunday, that we'll become more like Jesus. That by the end of this year, this will be our best year spiritually. And there's something in the air this year. I don't know if you're feeling it, if you're sensing it, but it's just something. It's almost like COVID is no longer a thing. And church is growing again, and spiritual lives are growing again, and we're just trusting God's going to do amazing things, and it's going to be absolutely amazing, and the best is yet to come. I know it's a very cheesy line, but it's very true. And it's my absolute privilege today to share God's word today, and I just want to thank Pastor Byron and Pastor Candace for that privilege. I do not take it lightly, and they are currently on leave, so we're just trusting to have an amazing time away. But speaking of which, Pastor Byron kicked off our series called Vices, Things That Hold Us Captive, and he preached two amazing messages about ruling our anger and living beyond fear. So I encourage you, this is a sermon series. This is not a once-off thing. Go back to our YouTube channel and go watch these messages, because there's so much to learn from it. There's so much stuff that we can take from it. And Amy even shared a scripture on it from 2 weeks ago this morning in our volunteers' encouragement. There's just so much in those messages that can help us rule our anger and live beyond fear. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of anger and there's a lot of fear going around, and we need to live beyond that. So it's my privilege to continue that sermon series, and it's vices, things that hold us captive. So turn to someone next to you and say, I see your vices. I turn to the other person and say, you're perfect. If you turn to your spouse first, shame on you. If you turn to them second, well done. Well played. You are smarter than I am. All right. The vice I'll be sharing today is by no means something that I have figured out. It's by no means something that I have worked on, that I have just have under control. It's, as I'm preaching this message, I need you to know that I'm preaching to myself. As I'm preaching this, I need you to know that I'm feeling like that little smack on my hand. You know, as a kid when you just grabbed all the sweets from the aisles and your dad just went, near. My dad's Afrikaans, so that's why it's near. You might have a different word or maybe a swear word in mind, that's okay. Or you know that look your mom gave you. Like when you misbehaved in church when you're young, you know that that one. And you know, oh, tonight when I get home, or today when I get home, it's over, okay? That's sort of what I felt when I was preparing this message. I was like, God is saying, you want to preach this to other people, but you know? And so it's by no means something that I figured out, but it's by all means something that I believe that if we can work on it, it can change the entire course of our lives. It's a vice that made me feel like, as I was preparing, that my life is severely limited because of this vice. That my life is severely coming short of what God has for me. That there's a purpose, there's a plan, there's a dream for my life, and I'm never going to get there if I hold on to this vice. And I believe for all of us that if we don't deal with this vice, it will determine the course of our lives in a negative way. But on the side of hope, if we can work on it, if we can work through it and sit with God on it, it can be a friend that helps us live a life full of purpose. And the vice I'm talking about today is the inner me. The inner me. And the title of my message, if you're taking notes, is the inner me that can be the enemy. All right? There you go. It's rap vibes. There we go. Noble is. Okay. The inner me that can be the enemy. All right? We are looking at the inner me. How it can often be our biggest enemy. And I think we can all agree with that. Some of us have in some way or shape or form come short because of the person inside of us telling us things, right? But also, the enemy doesn't have to be the enemy. It can be a friend that sets us free. It can be a friend that helps us to live a life full of purpose, full of all that God has for us. And today, we're going to unpack that. Today, we're going to look at how the enemy doesn't have to be an enemy. It can be a friend. How it can be something that can then build our lives instead of break our lives down. It can be something that, in fact, sets us free. I don't know about you, but I'm excited today. I'm trusting that God's going to speak to us powerfully. I'm trusting that the generations of anger, maybe generations of struggle, maybe generations of feeling, having a mindset of poverty can be broken today because God is going to speak today through the enemy, through scripture, and how the enemy doesn't have to be an enemy. So I'm going to encourage you right now, wherever you are, maybe just lean in a little bit more of the expectation. Have a bit of faith. Rise up your faith and trust that God's going to speak to us. And I'm not saying you need to shout and be responsive, but that'd be cool. But you don't have to. But I'm saying is lean in and hear God's voice today. Because God has something for us today. Not because I'm cool and I have messages to share. No, because there's scripture going to be shared today. And scripture has a power to shape our lives. And we should never take a Sunday like this for granted. So can I invite you with me, just maybe stand where you are. And we're going to pray. We're going to, like, standing is like a posture of faith to say, I'm standing and I want to hear from God. So I encourage you right now, wherever you are, maybe just close your eyes. Just focus on God and just say to him, God, please speak to me today. Please speak to the enemy. Father God, we come before you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you there's no one like you. And Father, today we bring ourselves before you. We bring our enemies to you. And God, we pray, come and speak there. There's so much good in there, God, but there's also so much bad in there. So much that needs to be worked on in there. Please help us, God, to be set free from this. Help us, God, to live a life full of the potential that you've given us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Father God, we pray that whatever I've prepared that you don't want to say, please take it out. Whatever I haven't prepared that you want to say, please put it in. And speak to us powerfully today, we pray. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Please send to someone and say to them, your enemy looks great. All right, you may take your seats. All right. The enemy can shape our whole lives. The enemy can determine so much. It can determine everything about us. It can determine how we act. It can determine how we respond. In fact, the reason why you're so angry in traffic sometimes is because your enemy didn't wake up on the right side of the bed. Right? So I thought I could give us a definition of the enemy. The enemy is the core essence of a person, encompassing their thoughts, feelings, values, beliefs, and personality traits. That does what? That shape their identity and influences their actions and decisions. Our enemy determines a lot of things externally. In fact, everything about us on the outside is affected by who we are on the inside. I think we can be honest right now that all of us can overreact or underreact to something because of our enemy, right? Let me give you some examples, because yeah, I can see some of you like, no, that's not me. Let me give you some examples, okay? Who you still is a little bit afraid of the dark? Who you still is a little bit afraid of the dark? There you go. So you know what I'm talking about. You have your bedroom over there. You have a long passage. And then you have a light on the opposite side of the passage. So what do? Firstly, you install another switch by your bedroom. Or if you don't have the money for that, then what you do is, Kristen does this. Like my wife, she, like, you know, you switch the light off and you walk as far as you can. Because there's something in the dark and you get into the room and you're like, okay, cool, I'm safe. That is your inner me. All right? Somehow you're still afraid of the dark because it doesn't make sense. There's no reason, right? But it's your inner me, okay? Maybe you're a dog, a cat person, right? And you talk to your dogs and you kiss your dogs. And you talk to your dogs more like a human than you talk to your kids like they're human, right? One day my dad came home with chocolates. I was so excited. He gave it to the dogs. It wasn't for us as kids, all right? That happens. Maybe you know someone who overuses emojis. Can we just get a picture of those emojis? Does anyone know someone like that? That's the whole conversation happening there. That's because your enemy really wants to show people how you feel about them. Maybe someone in conversation tells a blatant lie, right? And you're sitting there and you have what I call the resting BS face. Can you see that face over there? You can't help it. You have to pull that face because your enemy has an injustice about lying. You can know that person's lying. You just go... You can't help it. Like, they can see you putting in the face, but you just don't, like, you can't, you have to show it. It's because of your inner me. Maybe a little bit deeper. Maybe you have a deep fear of failure. You don't even try to succeed because of your inner me determining your life. Maybe you feel so rejected that hearing God say, I love you, I have plans for you, I have a purpose for you, you literally can, it can be said to your face, you'll shift it aside and say, that's definitely not for me, it's for someone else. That's because of your inner me determining the course of your life. I think we can all find some common ground today, so that in some way, shape, or form, our dreams got robbed a little bit because of our enemy. For some way, shape, or form, maybe a relationship suffered because of the enemy. And today, I encourage us that it doesn't have to stay like that. The enemy doesn't have to be an enemy. It can be a friend that sets us free. The enemy is a complex thing. There's a lot going on in there, and it's very hard to figure out what about it is true and what about it isn't true. What about it is there to build my life, and what about in there isn't there to build my life, right? So for example, let me paint you a picture. This is my enemy. Everyone say hi to Inner Hein, right? Now, in some ways, this represents me very well. Firstly, the guy's dressed in drip. He's looking so cool. This is my clothes, by the way. You're thinking this looks better than Mr. Price's mannequins. Can I just tell you right now? This is an outfit dressed to kill, okay? No one's agreeing with that, but I think it's pretty awesome. Okay. So some way, shapes, and forms represent me. This guy's got a pack for days, I've got a pack for days. You know what I'm saying? We're the same person, but in some ways, it doesn't represent me very well. I think you're thinking the barefoot. No, I walk around barefoot a lot, so that's fine. But it doesn't have a head. No, it doesn't have it. It doesn't have arms. Okay, I don't have arms, but you know, same thing, okay? In some ways, it represents me very well, but some things in there are placed there that doesn't represent me very well. Some things in there are, oh, it's part of who I am, but it's actually not part of who I am. And the problem with the enemy is we believe those things are truth. Like we feel like I am afraid of the dog because there's monsters in my hallway. That's not necessarily true, is it? But yet we believe it as truth. Let me give you an example. I'm an extrovert. I love hanging out with people. That is part of my enemy. That's who I am. That's truth, right? That's who I am. I love hanging out with people. I enjoy that. But it is not a part of my enemy that I believe is true for myself, but I promise you it's not true. But I believe it as truth. And like I said, this message is real for me, so I'm being vulnerable right now. I wish I could say I've dealt with this. I haven't dealt with this. But sometimes I'd walk into a room. Sometimes I'd walk onto this platform, and I think I'm not good enough to be in this place. I talk to people and leaders and people I lead and people who lead me, and I sit in conversations with them, and I feel like, yo, I don't belong here. I feel like, yo, I'm just not worthy of being in these people's presence. And I never go into a meeting thinking it's a good thing. If someone said, hi, I need to talk to you, I think, oh, my word, I'm getting laid off. Seriously, I'm not even joking. It's not like a joke. I seriously feel this stuff. I think, I always say to Kristen, I'm getting called into a meeting again. Like, I'm so worried. And I never think it's a good thing. That's because my inner me is telling me that I'm worthless, telling me that I'm not good enough. But yet, I know it's not true, but I believe it like it is truth. See what I can say, that the inner me is a complex thing because we think it's truth, but some things are placed in there that is not truth. And we need to understand that we can deceive ourselves. We can make ourselves believe that, oh, it is part of who I am, but it's not. And Scripture actually warns us a lot about this. It says, do not deceive yourselves. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, it says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. Can I say, the inner me is most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Who really knows how bad our inner me actually is for us at times? 1 John verse 1 to 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we do what? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We can deceive ourselves today, church. We can deceive ourselves to think, oh, this is who I am. This is part of who I am. I'm always going to struggle with this. I'm always going to sit with this addiction because my dad sat with this addiction and his granddad sat with that addiction. And we just get stuck into this space. And before we know it, we believe that a limiting truth about ourselves that will never help us progress beyond in our lives. And the inner me becomes an enemy that is a vice that holds us captive. But the truth and the good news today is, church, we can adapt. We can grow. We can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of the presence of God, with the help of God in our lives, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can remove those parts of the enemy that don't belong in us and replace it with truth, replace it with hope. And the enemy can become a friend that sets us free. It does not have to be an enemy. And I say this because I read a fascinating article the other day about marine iguanas. Now you're thinking, where's this guy going? So that's a marine iguana. What a fantastic specimen. Stay away from me. All right. Okay, but a marine iguana is actually just a normal iguana, okay? So what happened with them is iguanas live on land and they drink fresh water. That's what they do, okay? But because of, in many countries, especially in Africa, there's a lot of droughts and deserts are growing, so these iguanas started to move towards the ocean where there is no fresh water. So they had to learn to start living in seawater. So a marine iguana, a normal iguana, spends 20 to 30% of its time in water and the rest of the time on land. It drinks fresh water and eats leaves and stuff on land. A marine iguana, because of what it's gone through, it has this amazing adaptation. It just adapted its whole biology and its whole life to change because of the area that it finds itself in. And marine iguanas spend 70 to 80% of their time in water, not 20 to 30%, and they basically eat plants underwater. That's how they live. They adapted their entire lifestyle because of the droughts and the deserts and the dry spaces that are around them. I say all this to say about iguanas, to say that we can adapt, we can grow, we can shift because of the dry spaces in our lives. It doesn't have to feel dry. It doesn't have to be a condemning desert that keeps us captive. We can adapt, we can grow by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the help of God. We can shape and shift our enemies so that we can live lives that are freeing and full no matter what area we find ourselves in. The question is, why should I adapt? Why should I work on this enemy? Because it's just too hard and it's going to be so painful. Can I say right now, if we don't deal with the enemy, it will derail our lives naturally. It will keep us captive. You can sit in a room full of light and you'll feel that you're sitting in darkness because of the enemy. You can sit in a room where love is abundant and you can feel unloved. We can sit in a room and feel captive when freedom is abundant. You see, the enemy can limit us no matter what's going on around us. Today, we're going to learn to unpack and we're going to learn to break down those things inside of us that aren't truth and build them up with truth, with the power of God, with the hope of by the help of the Holy Spirit, that we can become people who live free even when captivity is around us. The enemy does not have to be an enemy. It can be a friend. Today we're going to look at someone in Scripture, someone who, unfortunately, because of his enemy, that was an enemy, got robbed of his calling, got robbed of the purpose and the plans that God had for him. This person has so much presence of God. In fact, people say that the only person who was closer to God on planet Earth was Jesus. This man was so close to the presence of God, so entrenched in the presence of God, so he would speak to God as one would speak to a friend face to face. This man would come down a mountain and his face would glow because of the presence of God, literally glow because of the presence of God that was at work in his life. And yet, because his enemy was so strong and not dealt with, he got robbed of the calling that God had for him. So we're going to look at the life of Moses. Moses, who was the man who was supposed to lead the Israelites to the promised land. And he initiated the whole thing, but yet got told, you will never enter the promised land. Because his enemy limited him. Today from Moses, we're going to unpack three tools, three things that we can learn from Moses, three things of what he did that we could do. And unfortunately, one of them is a thing that we must learn what not to do. To help us make sure that we don't get robbed from purpose. We don't get robbed from dreams. We don't get robbed from plans that God has for life. I don't know about you, but I want to live a life of purpose. I want to go into heaven on a bicycle, or not a bicycle, on a motorbike, you know, like wheels on fire, doing a backflip. I don't want to go in like, oh, I just made it. I want to go on fire into heaven. I want to go on fire knowing I live my life to the full. I didn't leave anything behind. You know, when you play a sports game, you don't want to leave anything on the field. You want to make sure that you put everything out on there. You want to come off after a run or after a work day and think, oh, I should have worked a little bit harder. I want to live my life like that. And I know if I don't deal with my inner me, I will go in thinking, oh, I should have lived a better life. If only, I don't want to live that life. And so today we're going to unpack the inner me so that we can live lives to the full. So three things from Moses. Are you ready? Yeah. Ready to learn three things from Moses. The first thing that Moses did was he drew close. Draw close. Draw close to what? Draw close to the presence of Jesus. People who knows that the enemy doesn't have to be an enemy but can be a friend know that there's a finite amount of time that we can spend with Jesus. There's a limited amount of time that we can spend with Jesus, so they make it count. Those people show up with an attitude to say, I am here to do business with God. Every Sunday morning before worship starts, I'm here, God, to do business with you. When I'm doing prayer, when I'm doing scripture at home, God, I'm here to hear from you. People who live that way are people who turn the enemy into a friend. See, Moses did business with God. In Exodus 33, verse 11, we learn that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one would speak to a friend. Moses drew close to God. Moses was undistracted in the presence of God. Moses was focused when he was in the presence of God. Yes, he did all other things that he needed to do as a normal human, but when it was time to spend time with God, he was focused and zoned in on God. Moses drew close. How do we draw close to God, church? We remove distractions. Remove distractions. When you're spending time with God, put your phone away. When you're taking notes at church, don't take notes on your phone. Like, I know now that's the only thing you have, so I feel bad for saying that. But I'm talking to myself here because I would sit on that seat over there, Pastor Byron would be preaching, and then one of the techie guys would message me, hey, hon, something's wrong at the back. And before I know it, I'm on WhatsApp, and I'm like, okay, let's do this. And then I'm replying to another message, and I play football on Mondays, and I'm thinking, hey guys, let's go, we're playing tomorrow at this time. And before I know it, I'm robbed from a word that God had for me. Before I know it, I'm robbed from something that could have set me free from something that I've been dealing with for the last year. Be undistracted in the presence of God. Arrive early for church. Don't come in halfway through worship. By the time worship starts for you, it's over. And you're thinking, oh, the band could just play for one more minute. I could have dealt with. Don't come late for church. Come early. Bring your kids early for kids' church. You want them to hear from God, right? You want them to hear that they value, that they love, that God has a plan for their life. You know, like you want them to hear that, but if they come in late all flustered and angry and frustrated because you just shouted at them because they didn't put their shoe on right and all those things because you were late, and then they're not going to hear from God. And before you know it, your kids are struggling with some stuff that could have been dealt with a long time ago. Be undistracted. Draw close to God. We are people who rock up with an attitude to say, God, I'm here to do business with you. Every Sunday, let's not take it for granted, because we know that when we're in the presence of God, that is when God can speak a word, speak one truth that can set us free, speak one truth that can release us from something that we've been struggling for years, some maybe a mindset that we've been sitting with for the last 18, 20 years can be broken with one word from God. Be undistracted. Draw close to God. And can I say right now, if your life is busy and you can't draw close to God, if your life is busy and you can't be early for church, can I say something right now? Try your best to do that, but if you can't, then notice God. Just wherever you go, just notice God. If you can't hear from God, then notice God. Like, look around, see where God is alive, see where God is doing something. A great example of this is in Isaiah 40, verse 26. It says, I look up into the heavens, who created all the stars. He brings them out like an army, one after the other, calling each by its name because of his great power and incomparable strength. Not a single one is missing. What a great example of just noticing the stars, thinking, wow, God, you're amazing. So if you can't be undistracted, if your life is just a little bit busy right now, if you go through seasons that are a little bit busy, just notice God. What an amazing thing that if we start to notice God in our weakness, how it will start to make us feel like, okay, I can do something. God is all powerful. God can do something with this thing that I'm struggling with in my enemy. Just notice God. What we're basically doing when we do this stuff is we increase our chances of hearing God. We increase our chances of hearing God. See, if you come in late for worship, you decrease your chances of hearing God. But if you come here early and you start to think about God and you start to get into worship, you increase your chances of hearing God's voice. And all you need is one word, church. All you need is one word, just one thing that God has to say, one feeling that you need to feel, and everything will shift in your life. But if you don't increase your chances, it's less likely. Simple math problem, right? Increase our chances of hearing God. Let the enemy draw close to God as much as possible. Everyone with me? Are you being helped? Yeah. Second thing that Moses did, he defied the lie. Defy the lie. Everyone say, defy the lie. Everything is rhyming today. It is lacquer. It is going well. All right. So what I mean by come defiant, I mean that whatever you feel that is in your enemy, that is limiting you, telling you you're not good enough, trying to rob you from purpose, become defiant to that. Say, no, I will not listen to you. I know you've been in my life for a long time, but I will not listen to you. See, Moses had to do this. Moses had to defy the lie in his life. When God first calls him, he says this. He says, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in my past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. God, I can't speak to people. God, I'm not good enough for this. Find someone else. My whole life, I haven't been able to speak to people. I'm slow of speech. I mean, who disses themselves like that, you know? I'm slow of speech. It sounds like an excuse, right? But it's a lie that he believed about himself. But yet in Scripture, we see so many examples of how Moses says to God, okay, like, God, I know you want to talk to people, but let me go do it. Like, so God, please speak to me, and then I'm going to go tell the people. We see an example of this in Exodus 19, verse 23 to 25. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up, Lord, to Mount Sinai, because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy. The Lord replied, then, well, go down, bring Aaron up with you, but the priests and the people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them. So Moses did what? He went down and told the people. See, Moses had to defy the lie to say, listen, I'm slow of speech, I can't do this. He had to defy that lie and break through it and say, no longer, because I have a job to do, I have something to do, I have a life to live, I have a purpose from God, God has called me, I have to shut down these lies and defy them because I want to live a life of purpose, I want to live a life of calling, I want to access dreams that God has laid in my heart. I cannot let these lies stop me, I have to defy the lies. So there's something inside of me that feels limiting, captivating, feeling empty, telling me I'm not good enough. We have to defy those lies. How do we defy a lie? Well, can I say right now, it's not about trying to figure everything out. You defy a lie by finding an external source of spiritual truth. You defy an inner lie by finding an external source of spiritual truth. An external source because it's unaffected by your emotions. It's unaffected by how you feel. It's unaffected by what you do. It's unaffected by your scenario and your circumstances. You find an external source of spiritual truth. That can be scripture. That can be an encouragement from someone in your life group. That can be a worship song. But what you do is when I feel something that is holding me captive, when I feel something that's trying to rob me from purpose, I go and find an external source of spiritual truth and I replace that lie with an external source of spiritual truth. So the enemy says, my enemy says this to me a lot, well, I'm not good enough. I have no purpose. I feel that sometimes. I don't have a purpose in life. I have to go, no. I'm going to go find an external source of spiritual truth. With that scripture, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future, plans to prosper you, to give you a purpose. I find an external source of spiritual truth. If I can't find a scripture, well, then what I do is I go look at all the people that my purpose has affected. There's people that I've led, there's people that I've spoken to, there's sermons that I've preached that has helped people. I go find an external source of spiritual truth. I do not hold on to a lie. I defy that lie. I become defiant to it. I wonder how many lies we need to defy today. Say, no longer. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to feel like I'm not good enough. I don't have to feel like there's never enough money. I don't have to feel like I'm always going to stay struggling in the same position or the same addiction. We can defy the lie. We find an external source of spiritual truth. Can I say this is why memorizing scripture is so important? Because it's the fastest way to defy a lie. Right? If you don't have scripture in your mind, if you don't have scripture in your heart, you have to first go open your Bible and look for something. You know, you pray like Bible Lotto? You go... May all my enemies die and fade. Yes, Lord. Amen. Put aside your wickedness. No, okay, no, next one. You see what I'm saying? We have to memorize scripture because it's the fastest way to defy the lie. If you don't have scripture in your heart to combat lies inside of you, how do you defy them? How do you defy them in traffic when you're about to go into the business meeting and you know your boss is going to say something? You say, no, God, I stand on your truth. I stand on your word. I need to have scripture in my heart to defy the lie. Guys, let's find an external source of spiritual truth. The point I'm trying to make is don't try and solve everything on your inside and on your own, because it gets confusing and messy and muddy and all messed up. And before we know it, we don't know what's truth anymore, what's lie anymore. And before we know it, our enemy has lies built into it that we see as truth. We defy the lie by finding an external source of spiritual truth. Get out of your own head, because the heart is most deceitful above all things. Defy the lie. Find an external source of spiritual truth. And lastly, something that we learn from Moses is we decide not to drift. Decide not to drift. Who knows that what you don't deal with, you'll drift into, right? See, Moses' enemy wasn't just insecurity, but it also was anger. Moses had a long-standing problem with anger, and he never dealt with it. We see when we first encounter Moses, he kills an Egyptian out of rage and anger, but he never dealt with it. So he kept drifting into anger. So much so, later on, the Israelites make a golden calf and worship around it. Moses tells them to melt this thing down, grind it into powder, and to drink it. Anger, right? Like proper anger. How psychotic, right? And it gets worse. He literally breaks the Ten Commandments. Not like one, but he literally breaks them. Let's read it. Exodus 32, verse 19. He's the first man to break the Ten Commandments, okay? I'm reading it now. It's a scripture, okay? See, like, we need to read it like this. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets, which the Ten Commandments were written on, out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. He broke the Ten Commandments, literally. Literally broke them. Some things cannot be left to drift. You know what I mean? Who knows that some of the long-standing issues with anger is because you didn't deal with something from childhood. Maybe that feeling of insignificance is because you didn't deal with something. God, like we didn't go say, God, please, I need to do business with you about this thing that I'm struggling with. See, what you don't deal with, we will drift into, and that thing will ultimately rob us from our calling. Unfortunately, because of Moses' anger, God says to Moses, raise up Joshua, you'll never enter the promised land. And for 40 years, they wandered in the desert. And eventually the Israelites did go into the promised land, but Moses was not with them. See, our anger or our insecurities or our struggles can rob us from calling, purpose. I mean, come on, like if you're 50, if you're 20, if you're 70, if you're 80, there's a purpose for your life. You're not just here to suck oxygen and pass it on. We are here to do something with our lives, man. We have a purpose. We have something to do. The person next to you needs to see you rise up in God. The person next to you needs to see you worship. The person next to you needs to see you give and be generous. The person next to you needs to see you serving because you have something to do in this world to change the lives around you. Your work colleagues need to see you have a faith that is unshakable in the midst of divorce or in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of a country that seems to be falling apart. There needs to be people who have a purpose in God. And the only way to have that is to deal with the stuff that is holding us back. The enemy doesn't have to be an enemy. See, the problem is we think, oh, I can just deal with this thing later. And we leave it in cruise control. You know, cruise control, you leave your car 120, you come back, it's still doing 120. You fall asleep, you come back, oh, still 120, it's all good. But see, the problem is, the things that we leave, they're never the same as we left them. They get worse. If you leave your anger, it's not going to stay where you left it. It's going to get worse. What you don't deal with, you will drift into. And before you know it, you hit the pothole, you hit the wobble, and now you have to wake up, oh, try everything. I wonder what life would be like if we start taking control of our lives before we hit wobbles, before we hit potholes, before we hit things in life. I wonder if we will even hit those potholes to begin with because we took control of our spiritual lives. If we don't deal with our spiritual lives, it will drift away from God. What you don't deal with, we will drift into. See, the problem is we think we can just hear God's voice straight away when things go wrong. But Dallas Willard says this, we mistakenly think that if God spoke to us, we would automatically know who He's speaking without having to learn. You automatically know, we'll just know that God is speaking to us. No, it takes time to learn to hear God's voice. It takes time to learn to deal with the enemy properly. And we need to do it now, not when things go wrong. Do it now. Deal with the vice now. Deal with the enemy now, because it doesn't have to be an enemy. It can be a friend that sets us free. So how do we know to let our spiritual lives drift? How do we press in? Well, we worship louder every week. Can I suggest that if this week you're holding on to your chair, next week let go of the chair. I'm not making jokes. Like seriously, like just one degree at a time, one small step at a time. If you've never sung the words before, then next week decide I'm going to sing at least one song. And the week after that, sing the second song. It's not because you need to sing and we want you to sing. And it's not because of that. Because your enemy needs to be put in the presence of God and to put in a space where there's increased chances to hear the voice of God. And when we do, one word can shift everything. Years and years of struggle can break in one moment. We press in. We diarize time for silence and solitude and we stick to it. If I miss one day, I'm not going to miss 2 days. If I miss 2 days, I'm not going to miss 3 days. Just keep going. Just keep trying to press in to God one degree at a time. Be in Scripture. Be 1 minute in Scripture this week, 2 minutes in Scripture the week after that, 3 minutes in Scripture the week after that. Just keep pressing into the presence of God because that is when God deals with the inner me. Warren Wiersbe says, the Christ formation is the ultimate goal for every follower of Christ. That slowly over time, we will begin to think like Jesus, see things Jesus as Jesus would see them, and treat people the same as Jesus would treat them. One degree at a time, we become like Christ. Now, if you checked out, maybe you just drifted a little bit in the conversation. Can I summarize the whole sermon in this one point? The more the enemy looks like Jesus, the more it's a friend. And the more the enemy drifts from Jesus, the more it becomes an enemy. So simple. Get into the presence of God. Behold God. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, and we with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God. Beholding means to take a hold of, not pass by easily, to do think about properly. Beholding the glory of God will be transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. What is the principle? Just get into the presence of God as much as possible and do business with God. God, I've been dealing with this feeling of anxiety for years. God, right now, I need you to deal with it. I'm here to do business with you. Can I encourage you, next week, Sunday, show up with something in your mind that you want God to deal with. Next encounter night, show up, hey God, I want to deal with this thing. This thing has been happening. Maybe there's a loved one that you've lost faith for and you think that they'll never get saved. No, God, I'm dealing with you about this next week, Sunday, at encounter night. There's no encounter night next week, Sunday, just, you know, I'm just an example. But I'm going to deal with it. And with that, we'll start to work out the lies that feels like they are truths. And we find external sources of spiritual truth. And we expose them as lies. And replace them with the truth of God. And that way the enemy doesn't become an enemy. It becomes a friend that sets us free. That is what God has for us today. That's what God has planned for us today. And I encourage you, don't wait to hit the wobble. Don't wait for that enemy to have a grip on you in a situation. If he already has, that's fine, and then deal with it now. But if there's something that's starting to niggle, don't wait. Don't let it go, because what you don't deal with, you will drift into. How do we expose the enemy? How do we adapt our enemy to become a friend and not an enemy while we draw close? We defy the lie. We draw close, we defy the lie, and we are not distracted from the presence of God. I missed the point, it will be on the screen, but we decide not to drift. We decide not to drift. We decide not to drift. What I didn't deal with, we will drift into. Maybe today you're sitting here today and you've never actually dealt with your relationship with Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus has been something that has been drifting your whole life. Your walk with God has been something that is just something that you've actually never thought about. Or maybe you had a relationship with God way back when, but then you stopped and you let it drift. Today, there's an invitation for all of us. The first step to dealing with the enemy, the first step to adapt the enemy is to accept Jesus into our lives. The first step is to invite Jesus into our lives and start working in our hearts, because without Him, this is impossible. Today, I want to give you an opportunity to take back control of your spiritual life, to take back ownership of that, to say, Jesus, I don't want it to drift anymore. Please come and move into my heart. So I'm going to ask if everyone's eyes closed and heads bowed, just to give everyone a moment of privacy in the space. If you've let your relationship with God drift, if you've let it drift and let it move away, today I want to give you an opportunity to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. So the moment I ask you to raise your hand is not to embarrass you, it's not to call you out, it's just so I can see who you are, because it'd be my great privilege to pray for you. So that's you today. If you say, Jesus, I don't want my life to drift anymore. I want to deal with the struggles in the enemy, but I know I need you to be there inside my heart. Today I want to invite you. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in 3, 2, 1. Wherever you are, just lift up your hand in space. Thank you. I see your hand in the middle there. Everyone just keep your eyes closed. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands in the middle over there. Everyone else. Anyone else, maybe left bank over here. If there's anyone, I just want to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Thank you. I see those hands in the middle over there. Thank you. Awesome stuff. Anyone else? Last call. Say, Jesus, I don't want to drift anymore. I want to have life and life to the full with you. Last chance. Everyone else, 3, 2, 1. Just lift your hand wherever you are. So thank you. I see that hand. Well, everyone who raised their hand today, I'm going to pray for you. And can I just encourage you? I'm just going to give you some language to pray, but you can pray your own prayer right now. Basically, you're saying to Jesus to please come into your heart and start giving you life and life to the full. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for all of us, God, who have taken a step, God, to move towards you today. I have taken a step, God, to invite you into our hearts and into our lives, Jesus. And Father God, today we ask for forgiveness for all of our sins, God. Sorry, God, oh Father, that we've been drifting so far from you for such a long time. And today, God, we come back, we come into your presence, and we say, Father, please come and move into our hearts. Please forgive us our sins, but today we choose to live for you. From this day on forward, we choose to take one step, one small degree adjustment at a time. And we pray, God, that as we move towards you, would you please come and work in our lives, start dealing with the enemy. And may it set us free, Jesus, in your precious name we pray. And may our lives from this day on forward glorify you. And may we live lives and lives to the full. May we live out the purpose that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.